the Jewish Connection, Part 2. The following message was preached by Brother Amos on Tuesday, the 19th of December, 2006 at Bible Faith Tabernacle Church, Lagos, Nigeria. We thank God for the hour we are living in and for our portion in Christ Jesus. That is the greatest portion to be in. So we thank God for His favor towards us at this evening time. We are not following fables. We are following a light, a revelation, the revelation of our Lord and Savior Jesus the Christ, as it is revealed in the Scriptures. Let us bow our heads in prayer. Brother Amos prayed, I want to bring my message to a close this evening, the message I started on Sunday, the Jewish Connection. We are people that are following a light. It is the light of the Scriptures. We are people that are following the revelation of Jesus Christ, as revealed in the Scriptures. And God is bringing the bride to a place of close relationship with Himself, an intimate relationship, by the revelation of Jesus Christ He has given to us. And surely tonight, by faith, we can stand where Moses stood, because he stood before the Lord, and God revealed Himself to him. And that is precisely where God is bringing His people. He is bringing them into an intimate relationship with Himself, as He unveils Himself to His people through His Son, Jesus the Christ, whom we behold in the mirror of His Word. And that is why I would like to turn the song we just sang around and sing, Crying Holy Unto the Lord, Crying Holy Unto the Lord. If I would, I surely could stand on the rock where Moses stood. If you would, you surely could, because the way has been opened up. The invitation has gone out. It is not if you could, you would, because the truth is, you could, if you would, because the opportunity has been given for you to come into His divine presence by a revelation. That is why the bride is being shut in a divine revelation, and the religious world is shut out. And that is precisely why, outside the bride following, there is no person that can speak the language of the bride. You cannot understand it, because it is so high, and also so deep, and yet so rich. It is so high, it is so deep, and yet it is so rich, because the treasures of heaven are laid out before the bride of Christ. Brother, our inheritance is in the light. And what a glorious inheritance. I was reading something today, and it struck my heart. How men have labored all through time, digging in the Scriptures, to give us facts about this Bible. They have invested so much time and labor, trying to lay out the Bible genealogy, as well as history relating to the Bible, bringing out, for instance, the historical picture of Israel in the days of Jesus Christ, historical documentaries on Palestine, Babylon, and even of Eras before there was Babylon, and of the Assyrian Empire, etc. They can paint it out, and make it look surreal, and take you back on a historical journey, and it just makes the Bible story, as well as the account of history, surreal. But do you know what I said to myself? You can know all those historical facts, and yet be devoid of the revelation of Jesus Christ. Think about it. They have labored so much on all those facts, but they know nothing about what God is doing today. They are completely ignorant, blind to the dealership of the Spirit, the revelatory dealership of the Spirit. What is God doing today in the light of truth? But what a labor! What a labor it took to produce the things they have produced! What a labor! And I have to thank God for that labor, because it has been a great blessing. Yet, they are not following this way, and neither do they understand this way. What a privilege we have of the Lord, to be brought into this way, the straight and narrow way. May God help us to be faithful. We saw something last week in Acts 10, concerning Peter, and the testimony he bore to the Gentiles, before the gospel came to the Gentiles in preeminence. Verse 17, Now while Peter doubted in himself what this vision which he had seen should mean, behold, the men which were sent from Cornelius had made inquiry for Simon's house, and stood before the gate, and called, and asked whether Simon, which was surnamed Peter, were lodged there. While Peter thought on the vision, the Spirit said unto him, Behold, three men seek thee. Arise therefore, and get thee down, and go with them, doubting nothing, for I have sent them. Amen. Let us continue on to verse 22. Then Peter went down to the men which were sent unto him from Cornelius, and said, Behold, I am him whom ye seek. What is the cause wherefore ye come? And they said, Cornelius the centurion, a just man, and one that feareth God, and of good report among all the nation of the Jews, was warned from God by an holy angel to send for thee into his house, and to hear words of thee. Amen. The Jewish connection. That is the title of my message. Saints of God. God dealt with the lead apostle of that hour to bear a witness. The first man that God would send to carry a message to the Gentiles, ahead of the ministry to the Gentiles, was a man that had the keys of the kingdom, keys with which to open the door of grace, the door of life, unto the Gentiles, and also to post an elected element of Gentiles ahead. No, he was not the chief apostle to the Gentiles. However, he bore the standard of truth for the Jews, but God was also going to use him to bear a witness to the Gentiles. How did it happen? It was by the supernatural dealing of the Spirit of God. It was not something that lay upon his mind, because it was not something he thought about, and it was not something he would have done of himself, without divine leadership. Because the ministry of the first church age was a ministry that followed divine leadership. So, although it was not something he thought about, although it was not something that lay upon his heart, but because he was dealt with supernaturally by the Spirit of the Lord, he could not be disobedient to the heavenly vision. He followed the men, and went to the house of Cornelius to bear his testimony. And it set a pattern, a precise pattern, for the closing of this grace age as we are moving into the last week of Daniel. And I said, the chief apostle bore witness to this connection as God dealt with him on this pattern. What did he say? He said God is going to make a connection, as the Jews were used to make a connection with the Gentiles in Acts 10, where God sent a Jew to bear a witness to the Gentiles, to get them acquainted with what God was doing in that era of time, things which they were ignorant of. So also would God anoint a Gentile at this same time, to bear a witness to the Jews, of what God has been doing in the past 2,000 years. But you must remember this, saints of God. Peter was not the messenger to the Gentiles, but yet God used him to bear a witness to the Gentiles. But as I pointed out last Sunday, you did not see him thereafter holding crusades, trying to convert the Gentiles, because God sent him only one time to the Gentiles. They were people that followed leadership, and they knew the order of God. That is what the Gentiles do not understand. There is an order. There is a pattern God has mapped out for the accomplishment of his purpose, and that pattern is entrenched in the scriptures. It is a scriptural fact that the bride of Christ will follow the Bible pattern. And at the end time, church, God will make that same connection, but now in reverse. I said in reverse. As a Jewish standard bearer was used to make a connection and to bear a testimony, to awaken an element of Gentiles, before the Gentiles receive the gospel in preeminence through the ministry God ordained to bring it to her, so will God make a connection at this evening time with the Jews in the land using the Gentile standard bearer of today, the lead apostle for today, to make the connection. He will be used to bear a witness of where God has been in the past 2,000 years, what he has been doing in the past 2,000 years, why the Jews are in the shoes they are in, and what God has in store for them, to post them ahead. No, he will not be preaching to convert Israel, but as Peter bore a witness, so will this end-time ministry bear a witness. But it is a witness that is going to affect an element of Jewry, an element God himself would have dealt with and prepared their hearts. Remember, before Paul came on the scene, surely an element of Gentiles had been dealt with through the ministry of Peter, a people who became the beginning nucleus of the Gentile church. Antioch in Syria was later to be the first Christian outpost. But the people that were in the house of Cornelius that day had received the message. When you read that chapter, not only were the household of Cornelius dealt with, but also his friends and loved ones. He spoke with all his loved ones and his friends of the angelic visitation, and they were all in the house that day, waiting with great expectation, because of the supernatural dealing Cornelius had received. He caught their attention. Read it. See verse 24 in particular. it was packed full of his family members and friends, those that were close to him. And the Bible says, while Peter yet spake these words, the Holy Spirit fell upon all them which heard the message. They all heard the word. And today, people are teaching that on that day, God singled out people in that meeting for the infilling of the Holy Spirit. That is, they are saying that not everybody in that meeting received the anointing of the Spirit that day. That is hogwash. Everybody in that house that day received the anointing, as God openly vindicated the witness. They received the infilling of the Holy Spirit, for they all heard the message. You had nobody there who was not ordained to be there. That was there on Pentecost. There was not one person fenced off that day from receiving the Spirit. Do not think God put together a nucleus of people who were to receive the witness of Peter and be the beginning nucleus of Gentile Christians, and yet the meeting would be made up of a mixture of believers and also of those that hated God, or other people that were unbelievers as well. No. Peter was to open the door of life to them, and they were to be the beginning nucleus of Gentile saints, an element ordained to receive an initial witness. Saints, let us not play with the word of God. The truth is, they all listened with rapt attention, because they had been dealt with supernaturally. So they were not a people that were going to sit there and argue and fuss and fight with Peter. No. I said they were dealt with supernaturally. They were not a people that were going to sit there and argue and fight and fuss with Peter. What do you think? But, well, the prophet says in this book, what do you think about this? But how can we be sure Jesus is truly the Savior? No, it was not a time of argument. It was the time they were going to sit down and listen with an open heart, knowing this was all from God. They realized their salvation hung upon it because God prepared their hearts. Since what a revival broke out the day, even Peter was positively shocked because he did not expect what God did, because he did not fully understand as yet that the plan of salvation included the Gentiles. And even after the experience, he still did not know to what extent God was going to go with the Gentiles until God raised up Paul. It was Paul that bore the full revelation plan of the salvation of the Gentiles. The fact remains that Peter bore a witness, and God bless his ministry that day. Remember, this message is not about a man. It is about what Jesus did that day. So it is not about a man tonight either. It is about what Jesus is going to do today. We are looking in the mirror of the Word of God to see the pattern God set in the first era of time, because he said, I am the Lord. I change not. Jesus Christ the same yesterday, today, and forever. Please look at the Bible pattern. I tell you tonight, God will use somebody to bear a witness. When Peter was going to bear this testimony, when he was going to bear a witness of Jesus, he preached a message, the message of Christ. He went with the message of Jesus Christ. Why do we say he bore a witness? We say that in this respect, that he was not the messenger to the Gentiles. But before the messenger to the Gentiles was set in office, and before the Gentiles received the message of Christ in preeminence, Peter bore that message first. And when they laid out the message of the cross to the Gentiles in that room, packed with ears listening with rapt attention, and their hearts opened up to receive truth, God blessed that meeting that night, for a revival broke out. God poured out His Spirit, even as at the beginning, even as Pentecost. They were filled with the Spirit. Brothers and sisters, how do I know that? They began to speak in tongues. The same manifestation, the same result, the same effect. That is what caused Peter to decide, I have got to baptize these people. I have got to baptize them. No, he had no choice. Now, it was off his hands. He had no choice but to baptize them. When the other apostles heard it, they rebuked him. But he told them, who am I to resist God? By the time he laid out his witness before them, stating why and how he went to the Gentiles to preach to them, they held their peace. He went with six other brothers, making seven of them from the Jews. Seven is a number of completion. He went with six other brothers, showing that at the end of time, when we come to the end of the seventh church age, at the ending of the grace age, it would be re-established in a reverse, that as the Jews bore the message to the Gentiles, So will the Gentiles bear a message to the Jews, strictly as a witness, before their messengers are set in place. It is to get them acquainted with Jesus and to post them ahead for the ministry of Moses and Elijah to modern-day Jews, who will be the instruments of their conversion. Come with me to the Bible, for if God blessed the meeting that day, and the message was vindicated with the outpouring of the Spirit, giving the recipients life, so will God vindicate it today. I said, so will God vindicate it today, giving them love as well. No, that meeting would not be for the 144,000 men of Revelation 7 and 14. No, because God does not break the pattern of His word, and He does not break the roadmap He has charted for the accomplishment of the salvation of Israel. Saints of God, Acts 10 verse 44 says, while Peter yet spake these words, the Holy Ghost fell on all them which heard the word. Who heard the word? All the Gentile people that were in the house that day were the ones that heard the word. This was not happening out there in the streets of Caesarea. It was all those Gentiles that were in the house of Cornelius, listening to Peter. Just as the Holy Ghost fell on the day of Pentecost upon the 120 disciples, and none were left out, so did it happen on this day. None was left out, because God vindicated the message that day, and God gave them eternal life, because the message of Jesus Christ is the message of life. God was doing a new thing that day. It was a supernatural dealing of God. It will be the same way today. It will be God's own design, God's own appointment, God's own moving. It is going to be a supernatural thing, but it will accomplish God's purpose and fulfill God's plan, precisely and exactly. All the types are here in reality. I had read about the Jewish connection before, in one of the sermon books of the prophet, but I did not remember the particular sermon. But as God would have it, a brother came to me after Sunday service. He said, Brother Amos, I thank God for the message of today. He said, I read Brother Branham and what he said about the Jewish connection, but I did not even know how to place it. He said, the message today just opened it up for me. So I said, Brother, can you give me the quote? He brought the quote. It is in the Seven Church Ages, which Brother Branham preached in 1960. On page 36, in the last paragraph, the prophet declared, this is a revelation story of Zechariah 12 verses 9 to 14. Zechariah prophesied this about 2,500 years ago. It is just about to take place. Listen, and it shall come to pass in that day, that I will seek to destroy all the nations that come against Jerusalem. And I will pour upon the house of David, and upon the inhabitants of Jerusalem, the spirit of grace and of supplications, and they shall look upon me whom they have pierced. Now, when is the gospel returning to the Jews? When the day of the Gentiles is finished, the gospel is ready to go back to the Jews. Oh, if I could just tell you something that is about to happen right in this our day. This great thing that is about to happen will carry you over to Revelation 11 and pick up those two witnesses, those two prophets, Moses and Elijah, turning the gospel back to the Jews. We're ready for it. Everything is in order. But listen to this. This is where I am going. The prophet declared, as the Jews brought the message to the Gentiles, even so the Gentiles will take it right back to the Jews, and the rapture will come. Did you hear that? As the Jews brought the message to the Gentiles, so will the Gentiles take it back to the Jews, and the rapture will come. It is something that is going to happen before the rapture. Brothers and sisters, we are living at the ending of days. Open your eyes and open your heart. That is why I said in my message last Sunday, the people following this message, who say they believe the prophet, but are not following continuity, are way behind in revelation, and they will believe nothing of these things. Neither will they understand these things, because they have shut out Jesus the light in his continuity revelation. The revelatory gap between them and us is simply phenomenal. And when you deny the continuity revelation of Jesus Christ, you deny Christ. It is a spiritual rejection and denial of Jesus Christ, because He is here today in the unveiling of His word. He is alive. He is not dead. He was dead, but He is alive, and He lives forevermore, interceding on behalf of God's seeds and he is ever revealing himself to the predestinated seeds of Abraham, that is, the royal seeds of Abraham, which is the bride. We are at the end, church. That is why I said, you cannot bind God's people and limit them to only the measure of truth God gave us through the prophet, as per 1965 when he died. Because it is now about 41 years since he passed away. That would be most foolish. It would be most foolish of you not to allow your son or daughter in college to move on in his education, insisting he stays permanently in one class. And in 41 years, if he's going to be a professor, he would have accomplished that. He would have attained it. That is a long time for anyone wanting to achieve something to do so. He should, within that period of time, already be a consultant to the world in his field. He should have acquired the desired name. 41 years of studying to be something is a long time. And when we apply that to the movement, I have to ask, when will they come to the true knowledge of Jesus Christ? To be able to stand on their own 2 feet on the Bible. When will they know the truth? When will they be restored to the Bible? That is why I warn, the movement in the main will not understand these things, because they have shut themselves away from the continuity revelation which God ordained to brighten the path of His children. That is why Proverbs 4 verse 18 says, the path of the just is as a shining light that shineth more and more, not for 2 or 5 years and it stops, and neither does it stop shining. But it says, it shines more and more unto the perfect day, that is to the resurrection morning. So the Jewish connection is something they will not know about. This is something they will not even understand, because they have cut themselves away from the fountain of revelation by rejecting continuity the chief apostle, Raymond Jackson, brought. And that fountain is like an artesian well. It is continuously dishing out fresh divine revelation, fresh light, giving more understanding unto God's people, ordained as bride. Look at that prophetic insight God gave William Branham in 1960, when he was preaching on the seven church ages, on the Jewish connection. That is not a maybe-so revelation. That is a certainty, that as the Jews brought the message to the Gentiles, so will the Gentiles bear the message to the Jews. Because the God of the Jews is also the God of the Gentile bride. Do not forget the occasion when Brother Branham was going to Israel to preach Christ to them, knowing that the Lord recognized the sign of a prophet. He got as far as Egypt, all the way from America, and God did not stop him from embarking on the trip. The meeting had been arranged because the prophet felt, if Israel should only see the sign of a prophet, they would accept the message. That is all they needed, the sign of a prophet, which God gave him in superabundance, a deposit of grace in his life, an investment of Jesus Christ, as a star messenger of Jesus Christ, to this age. God ordained that through his prophetic ministry, the earthly prophetic ministry of Christ would be manifested to the Gentiles at the end time. This is in order to show Jesus to the world that he is alive, and that he is real, and that he is the same yesterday, today, and forever. God also invested the ministry of the prophet with the open miraculous in order to vindicate the word, and to let us know without a shadow of doubt that the Bible is true, so that the bride may stand for it and stay with it. God means his word. God did not tell him not to go to Israel when he bought his plane ticket. If God did that, you would not see the severity of the instruction, nor the yieldedness of the prophet to God's perfect will and leadership. God allowed him to buy his ticket, leave the shores of the continent of America, make his way through North Africa, having crossed the Atlantic Ocean, all the way to Egypt for refueling. And then, at that point, the angel of the Lord came to him and said, go back. Go back. He thought, am I dreaming? No, no, it cannot be real. Then he had to run somewhere to pray. There the Lord came to him and instructed him, go back. You're not hearing things, it is real. Go back. God did not even let him make this connection, because he was still way off on the time that the real ministry of Israel would be put in place. Moreover, 2 other ministries or standard bearers would come after him, the last of which would be the ministry to carry over to the time of Israel, when God would make the connection, just before the 2 olive trees, start their ministry to Israel. it has to be the Gentile standard bearer, immediately preceding the establishment of the ministry of the two prophets to Israel. But that was a man yoked to leadership. He took a plane and went a different route because he was not seeking his own honor. He was seeking the honor of God. It is men who seek their own honor that would not agree with God's perfect will. Because of the name they would make and the impression they would make in Israel. That is the way of Gentiles for you, the way of carnal Gentiles, but not the prophet. Even thus shall the present day ministry of the bride be. They will bear ministry yoke to headship. I say that because God used William Branham as a wave chief, a standard for this age, a standard of conduct in the ministry. Even his shortcomings and mistakes are our stepping stones so that we do not make the same mistakes he made. The issue is this: Brother Branham turned away from Israel. He took a detour. Why did God tell him not to go? Because there is a precise plot God has mapped out by himself, which he has revealed in the scriptures of truth, precisely how the Jews are going to be converted in the last week of Daniel. Look at Romans 11 verse 25. It lets you know about the conversion of Israel at the end time. It reads, "For I would not, brethren, that ye should be ignorant of this mystery." Paul called it a mystery, because it is indeed a mystery. I said it is a mystery. It is a secret working of the Spirit of God. Paul continued, "Lest ye should be wise in your own conceits, that blindness in part, not fully, but only in part." That is, it is a blindness that is only for a while, is happened to Israel, until the fullness of the Gentiles become in. That means until the full number of Gentile elects ordained for life come into life. Once that happens, salvation goes back to Israel. Because he continues in verse 26, "And so all Israel shall be saved." The all Israel there is referring not to the whole nation, but to all the elected. That takes in the 144,000 men that are going to bear the everlasting gospel in the last 3.5 years of the 70th week of Daniel, a ministry made up of 12,000 from each of the 12 tribes of Israel. We see that in Revelation 7. But it also takes in the spiritual element of the nation of Israel, which we also see in Revelation 12, who are mortal elements, a people whom God will preserve and use to repopulate the Jewish race in the millennium. So you are looking at the 144,000 of Revelation 7, who will minister as revealed in Revelation 14, plus the woman of Revelation 12, the spiritual element of the nation of Israel. So, all Israel is all of the elected. It is still election. Truly, we are what we are by the grace of God. Verse 26, "And so all Israel shall be saved. As it is written, there shall come out of Zion the deliverer, that is Christ, and shall turn away ungodliness from Jacob. For this is my covenant unto them when I shall," future, "when I shall take away their sins." And he will do that in the first 3.5 years. As concerning the gospel, they are enemies for your sakes. But as touching the election, they are beloved for the Father's sakes. For the gifts and calling of God are without repentance. For as ye in times past have not believed God, yet have now obtained mercy through their unbelief, even so have these also now not believed, that through your mercy they also may obtain mercy. For God hath concluded them all in unbelief, that he might have mercy upon all. Since their conversion is coming in the first 3.5 years of Daniel's 70th week of time, God blinded them from this gospel message in order to have mercy upon the Gentiles. Then the message became a Gentile message, and the age became a Gentile age of grace, the Gentile dispensation of grace. But once this grace age comes to a close, and all the number of Gentiles ordained for life come in, salvation reverts back to Israel. Because the same God that blinded them is then going to reveal himself to them. But how will God reveal himself to the Jews? No, it is not through the Gentiles. No, but it is still going to be through human instruments to modern-day Jews, a modern-day Moses, and a modern-day Elijah, not the same Moses, and not the same Elijah the Tishbite, but the anointing of the Spirit of God as it was expressed in Moses and Elijah of old, will come upon to modern-day Jews in like manner, to characterize the kind of ministry those two old prophets brought to Israel. In the day, these two modern-day Jews will bear the same anointing of God, and according to Revelation 11, through them, Jesus Christ will be made known to Israel. This is God's revealed provided way for the salvation of the nation of Israel. It is through the two prophets of Revelation 11. These two men is what Zechariah called in chapter 4, the two olive trees. They are the two witnesses, the two candlesticks of Revelation 11:3-13, and I will give power unto my two witnesses, and they shall prophesy 1,260 days, clothed in sackcloth. These are the two olive trees, and the two candlesticks standing before the God of the earth. And if any man will hurt them, fire proceedeth out of their mouth, and devoureth their enemies. And if any man will hurt them, he must in this manner be killed. Who did that in the olden days? Who commanded fire from heaven over his enemies? Elijah the Tishbite. Verse 6. These have power to shut heaven, that it rain not in the days of their prophecy. Who did that in the olden days in the land of Israel? Elijah. So we see the identity of one witness. He is revealed by the anointing he will bear. His name is not revealed, but his ministry identity is revealed by the anointing he will bear. He will bear the kind of anointing Elijah the Tishbite bore in Israel, because Elijah was a man that had that kind of anointing. He was the one who bore that kind of ministry. But that anointing will also be poured out upon one modern day Jew to bear the revelation message of Jesus Christ to the Jews for their salvation. But that is only one olive tree. That is only one candlestick. What about the other candlestick, the other olive tree? This refers to Moses. He is also revealed in his prophetic identity here, because God hides their ministry in prophetic language. Moses is revealed in the same verse 6, clause B, and have power over waters to turn them to blood, and to smite the earth with all plagues, as often as they will. Who did that in the olden days? Moses. So here you see a reenactment of the ministry of Moses and Elijah. These are the two men God will use to reveal Jesus Christ to the Jews, and through their ministries, Israel will be converted. Amen. Verse 7. And when they shall have finished their testimony, the beast, that is the Antichrist, the Pope of Rome of that hour, that ascendeth out of the bottomless pit. Only a spirit comes out of the bottomless pit, but that lets you see his anointing, because he will be Satan incarnate at that time. The beast that ascendeth out of the bottomless pit shall make war against them, against the two olive trees, and shall overcome them, and kill them. And their dead bodies shall lie in the streets of the great city, which spiritually, at the era of time, is called Sodom in Egypt. Why? We know that Sodom speaks of perversion, and Egypt speaks of bondage. That just lets you see the spiritual condition of the nation of Israel in the era of time. Church, the Bible gives you a compounding of the spirit of Sodom plus the spirit of Egypt. It all speaks of apostasy, and that apostasy is relating to Jerusalem. Why do I know that? The scripture states, the great city, which spiritually is called Sodom and Egypt, where also our Lord was crucified. Well, Jesus Christ surely was not crucified in Sodom, and neither was he crucified in Egypt. He was crucified in Jerusalem, in Israel. So, this is the Spirit of God giving us the spiritual situation of Jerusalem. At that hour, spiritually, Jerusalem is a Sodom in Egypt. It is an apostate city. Why will it not be apostate when Israel makes a pact with the Antichrist, the man of sin? Verse 9. And they of the people and kindreds and tongues and nations shall see their dead bodies through satellite television 3 days and a half, and shall not suffer their dead bodies to be put in graves. And they that dwell upon the earth shall rejoice over them, and make merry, and shall send gifts one to another, because these two prophets tormented them that dwelt on the earth, bringing plagues and judgment to the Middle East. And after 3 days and a half the spirit of life from God entered into them, and they stood upon their feet, and great fear fell upon them which saw them. And they heard a great voice from heaven saying unto them, come up hither. And they ascended up to heaven in a cloud, and their enemies beheld them, And the same hour was there a great earthquake, and the tenth part of the city fell, and in the earthquake were slain of men 7,000. And the remnant were affrighted, and gave glory to the God of heaven. Amen. As the two prophets are bringing revival to Israel, revealing Christ to them, the book of Zechariah says, the Jews will ask Christ, where did you get these wounds in your hand? He will reply, I got it in the house of my brethren. But notice, no one asks those literal questions. That is figurative, meaning that the Jews will realize they killed their Messiah. But God actually blinded them in order to have mercy upon us Gentiles. And as such, we cannot toy with the gospel of life, or we will pay a dire price. Because it is not a game. This is a race for life. Church, I have to say tonight, in the light of the two witnesses God has ordained as the ministry to the Jews, we have to understand that the witness which the standard bearer of this hour would be used of God to bear to the Jews would only affect a small nucleus of Jews, and it would also help them look forward to the ministry of the two prophets, their real ministry. Do not forget, the Jewish ministry are the two witnesses, the two olive trees, the two candlesticks, who are going to be the instruments, the means whereby Jesus Christ is revealed to the Jews. That is why the angel in Revelation 7, we read it on Sunday, told four angels stationed in the four corners of the earth, that is where all direction take its axis, which gives us the Middle East, the cradle of man, he said, hold the winds of conflict till we as plural, have sealed the servants. Who are the we? That is Moses and Elijah. That is it to witnesses. Their ministry has to go forth first to accomplish the salvation of the Jews before the winds can blow. Yes, angels are behind their ministry as well, but the we is referring to the ministry that is going to do the preaching that will form the basis for the anointing, which the angel of God will release upon the Jews under the authority of God. Let us go to Revelation 7, from verse 1. And after these things I saw four angels standing on the four corners of the earth. The four corners are actually four points, four locations in the center of this earth, that is in the Middle East, from which all direction takes its axis, because the earth is not a square. So, don't be looking for a literal corner, for the earth is round, not square. Isaiah revealed it when he declared in chapter 40 verse 22, the circle of the earth. So you have to look at four points in the center of this earth, from which all direction takes its axis. So you are looking at the center of it. That is why this prophetic scenario is happening right there in the Middle East, because the angels are stationed right there over and around the Mediterranean Sea. Remember, this is a book of prophecy with symbolic language. Are you with me? Four angels, holding the four winds of the earth. What are the winds? They are winds of conflict, socio-economic, political, religious, and military conflicts. These are the factors or winds that produce change. However, the winds in this prophecy are winds that are going to bring the conflicts that will produce the Battle of Armageddon. Because it takes these four winds to bring change, they are winds of conflict. So you are looking at socio-economic conditions, you are looking at political conditions or factors, you are looking at military conditions, and you are looking at religious tension. Are you with me? These are the four winds, because these are the four factors that bring about revolution and change, factors that lead to war. If it is not an issue of religion, it is politics causing people to fight. If it is not about politics, church, it is military. And if it is not military, it is socio-economic issues. The price of bread was what caused the French Revolution, a revolution which brought in Napoleon Bonaparte. It was the increased price of bread. That was the last straw. So that was a socio-economic wind, a socio-economic conflict, which brought that revolution, the French Revolution. But these winds are winds that will eventually evolve into the Armageddon War. And after these things I saw four angels standing on the four corners of the earth, holding the four winds of the earth. There are angels in charge of these four winds. Are you with me? There are angels that are under the authority of God to oversee economics. Are you with me? And hold it in check in order to serve God's purpose. Same with politics, religion, all which are symbolized in the four winds. These angels are to hold the winds, that the winds should not blow on the earth nor on the sea. That takes in the whole prophetic world. America, although represented as the earth in Revelation 12, is not the earth here. For the prophetic earth here refers to the old world, where the battle of Armageddon will be fought, a battle between the West, the European Union, and the Far East, led by Communist China, nor on any tree that symbolizes nation. Verse 2. And I saw another angel ascending from the east, having the seal of the living God. That is the Holy Ghost anointing. But you can only have it by receiving the message of truth. I said you can only receive the Spirit of God by believing on the truth of Jesus Christ. So that lets you see that some people have to carry the message of truth, by which people would be sealed. And he cried with a loud voice to the four angels, to whom it was given to hold the earth and the sea. God is the one that is going to cause those angels to hold the winds of conflict. That is why when the Iraqi war was to break out some years back, when the United States was coming against Saddam Hussein, people said, World War will break out. But what did we say then? No. Why? Because the Third World War will be Armageddon. Another World War will not break out until the time appointed, and there are prophecies of the Bible hanging on that issue. We just have to keep our eyes on the light of the truth of the Scriptures. Follow the Word. Follow the light. Use the light for your guide. So, the angel of time was saying, Do not hurt the earth. Why? Verse 3 gives the reason, saying, Hurt not the earth, neither the sea, nor the trees, till we have sealed, anointed, the servants, the ministers, of our God in their foreheads. Their forehead speaks of their hearts, giving them a revelation of Jesus Christ. All right. The angel cried to those four angels. The angel that issued the instruction is the angel of time, the angel that watches over the gospel, who has been watching over it as the gospel moved from nation to nation and from continent to continent, as time moved from the Middle East to the West, and it is going back now. Because when the sun sets in the West in the evening, it rises again in the morning in the East. And church, the gospel message is going back to Palestine. It is going back to the land of Israel. Because there the gospel started, for salvation is of the Jews. And from there, it went forth around this earth. Now, in this prophetic scene, God is taking it back to them. And that is why there had to be a message of restoration, to wash the gospel of all Gentile impurities before it goes back. That is why I said last Sunday, the message of Christ came clean, and it is going back clean. But the angel of time, who watches over the gospel, from nation to nation, all through time, is going to watch it as it moves into the continent of Ham on its way back to the Jews. But he made an announcement to those four angels, stationed as coast guards in a type. Coast guards are guards that watch the coast. These four angels are like coast guards, stationed there to hold the winds of conflict, which will produce the Armageddon War. The winds are not to blow yet, until the servants of God are sealed with the Holy Spirit. The angel said, We, but one person cannot be we, and surely one spirit cannot be we. And if the servants of God are to be sealed, it is obvious somebody has to bear the revelation of it, because angels do not preach. That leads you straight to the two witnesses, the two olive trees, the two candlesticks. Brother, it is by their message the 144,000 servants are to be sealed. But do you know the beauty of it? We will see the beginning of the ministry of the two prophets. Is that not lovely? The bride is going to see the beginning of their ministry. We are going to see the beginning of their ministry. No, we will not be here to see their ministry through to the end, but we will see the beginning of it, the start of it, because it is written that the day of rapture will not come until there is first a falling away, and then, secondly, the man of sin is revealed. As he takes over the European Union affairs as their head. Once the leadership of the Pope of Rome is established over the European Union, the rapture is at the doors. The Antichrist has 3.5 years, which is precisely 1260 days, a false peace and prosperity, the same period of time when Israel will be having her revival, exactly 42 months, a period when the two prophets will minister. Then I ask, what does this tell you? It is simply this. If we see the opening of the week, we will definitely see the beginning of the ministry of the two prophets, because they will prophesy for exactly 3.5 years, and then they are killed. So we will see the beginning of their ministry. But church, you are going to see a connection made, giving us a mini transition before the two olive trees start their ministry to the Jews. Brothers and sisters, the Gentiles will first bear this message to the Jews before the two prophets start their ministry. And God will bless it. God will honor the connection. As the Lord blessed and honored the message Peter brought to the Gentiles that day, so will He bless and honor the message the standard bearer of this end time will bear to the Jews. Look at the pattern of the Word. Look at God's blueprint. It will not fail. Truth cannot fail. So, the winds of conflict that will produce the Armageddon battle will be held up until the 3.5 years of Jewish sealing revival is complete. So the announcement made by the angel of time is just prior to the opening of the week. The gospel message will be coming from the Gentiles and will be going back to Palestine at that time where it all started. Are you with me? The angel therefore is making an announcement. Don't let the winds blow yet until we have sealed. I ask, how long will they take to do the sealing? The first 3.5 years. Revelation 11 gives it to you. I will give power unto my two witnesses. They will prophesy 1,260 days, clothed in sackcloth. This gives you 1,260 days of prophetic time, divided by 360 days per year, and it gives you 3.5 years, or divided by 30 days per month, and it will give you 42 months. If you divide it by 12 months per year, it still gives you precisely 3.5 years, which relates to a prophetic time Daniel called a time, 1 year, times, 2 years, and dividing of time, which is half a time, or a half year, it totals 3.5 years. So, when the angel said, hold the winds till we have sealed the servants, I also ask, how long will they hold it for? The first 3.5 years. Because it is in the first 3.5 years that the 144,000 everlasting gospel preachers, servants of God, called of the Jewish race, will be sealed. But they are not the only ones to be affected by their message. You also have the woman of Revelation 12, the spiritual element of that nation. Now let us look at verse 4 of Revelation 7. And I heard the number of them which were sealed, which were anointed. And there were sealed 144,000 of all the tribes of the children of Israel. No Gentile is in this number. This is one ministry in which there will be no women preachers. No woman would be able to usurp this ministry. Verse 5. Of the tribe of Judah were sealed 12,000. Of the tribe of Reuben were sealed 12,000. Of the tribe of Gad were sealed 12,000. Of the tribe of Israel were sealed 12,000. Of the tribe of Naphtali were sealed 12,000. Of the tribe of Manasseh were sealed 12,000. Of the tribe of Simeon were sealed 12,000. Of the tribe of Levi were sealed 12,000. Of the tribe of Issachar were sealed 12,000. Of the tribe of Zebulun were sealed 12,000. Of the tribe of Joseph were sealed 12,000. Of the tribe of Benjamin were sealed 12,000. 12,000 multiplied by 12 tribes equal 144,000. I have to ask though, which tribe do you belong to as a Gentile? For any Gentile to tell me he or she will be part of the 144,000. Hogwash. Projecting such a thought is absolute nonsense. The Seventh-day Adventists believe they are the 144,000. Simply ask them the tribe they belong to. Yet, the Seventh-day Adventists universally are a couple of millions in their church numerical strength. But the servants of God to be sealed in the last week are precisely only 144,000, no more, no less. The Seventh-day Adventists also took the three angels of Revelation 14 and made it their logo for spreading the gospel, and they are carrying it on now. What a carnal way to look at prophecy. They also hold that the message of Ellen G. White is the spirit of prophecy. That is what they say. That is just plain carnality, for you do not apply prophecy anywhere you want. We thank God for the light of Christ. Thank God for the revelation of Jesus Christ. Brothers and sisters, I have gone into all that to let you see something. When we look at the Christian religious world, preachers by the truckload are going to Israel with the sole aim of converting the Jews without a revelation of God's plot for the Jews. But I want you to see something in Revelation 14, where you see the 144,000 ready to move, for I have to lay out the plot. And I looked, and, lo, a lamb stood. That is Christ. Where is he being revealed? On the Mount Zion, that is the whole summit area of Jerusalem. And with him 144,000, having his father's name written in their foreheads. This verse meets you right in the middle of the 70th week, as the 144,000 are about to hit the road to bear the everlasting gospel. This group is the same group we see in Revelation 7 verses 1 to 7, sealed or anointed under the ministry of the two prophets. They are the preachers of the everlasting gospel. They are Jews called out of diaspora, Jews from the various nations of the earth. They go back to the nations in which they were born with the everlasting gospel message. But please note, the everlasting gospel is not a gospel of salvation. Nevertheless, it is the last good news the world will hear. I said it is not a gospel of conversion. It is a gospel ordained essentially to prepare the tribulation saints for martyrdom in that era of time, because it is an era of apostasy, when the prophetic world would have bound themselves to the rule of the Antichrist, the Pope of Rome of the day, an era of time they will begin to receive the 666 mark. So God has to lift up this ministry, which will minister universally, to warn an element of humanity, that it is better for them to die than to take the mark, because they will rise in the morning. We will take that verse again. And I looked, and, lo, a lamb stood on the Mount Zion, and with him 144,000, the precise number of Jews you see in Revelation 7. That means they have now been called, and they have now been sealed, through the ministry of the two prophets. Can I hear amen? Remember the angel said, don't let the winds blow until we have sealed the servants of God. And it would take the 3.5 years ministry of the two witnesses for them to be sealed, because the sealing is upon a people that are going to carry a message of truth, which revelation they are given by the two prophets. But as I earlier stated, there is another element who will also be converted, the woman of Revelation 12, the spiritual element of the nation of Israel. All right. So, here we see 144,000, having his father's name, written in their foreheads. What does this show you? It shows that they bear the revelation of Jesus Christ, because the name Jesus is a compound name. It is not only the name of the Son, it is also the redemptive name of Elohim, his Father. That is why he said in John 5 verse 43, I am come in my Father's name, and ye receive me not. And he declared, if another shall come in his own name, him ye will receive, speaking of the Antichrist, the man of sin, the beast, the false prophet, the little horn of Daniel, the Pope of Rome of that era of time. We will continue our thought in Revelation 14, verse 2. And I heard a voice from heaven, as a voice of many waters, and as a voice of a great thunder. And I heard the voice of harpers harping with their harps, and they sung as it were a new song in prophecy, is a new revelation. Where was it being sung? Before the throne, and before the four beasts, and the elders, and no man could learn the song, no man could catch that new revelation, but the 144,000, which were redeemed from the earth. Why? Because it is strictly a song they alone will sing. The song is the new revelation they will bear to the world. It is a message, a new message, the everlasting gospel. It is not our song, because it is not the message of the cross we have carried for about 2,000 years. It is a completely new song. Nobody else will be able to catch that revelation in order to preach it except the 144,000. They will catch that message, and they will sing it to the whole world. It is the message of that hour. It is not a message of salvation, but nevertheless, it is the last good news the world would hear, because it is a message to rebuke the world and to prepare a people for martyrdom. Verse 4. These elder which were not defiled with women, a woman in prophecy types church, but women in this prophetic setting of Gentile denominational churches, whose preachers are flocking to the land of Israel today, bearing a gospel, but it is a perverted gospel. They are preaching a perverted gospel of Christ, a gospel hybridized with all sorts of creeds, dogma, traditions, and ceremonies of men. Brother, the gospel did not come perverted, and Israel will not receive it perverted. Oh no. Gentiles are flocking to Israel today, but they do not see the plan of God. They are totally blind to the revealed plan of God for the redemption of Israel. Gentiles are flocking to the land of Palestine, but they do not see the plot. Gentiles are flocking to Israel to convert the Jews, but they cannot see God's agenda, because they are not following a revelation. They are preaching a hand-me-down traditional gospel. No wonder the Jews find it difficult to follow Gentiles who are preaching three gods, hacking up God into three, when God is one, even as it is written, "Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one Lord, and thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thine heart, and with all thy soul, and with all thy might." Deuteronomy 6 verses 4 and 5. Mark 12 verse 29. A spiritual Jew cannot accept a three gods warped doctrine. There is only one God. That is why it says, "These 144,000 have never been defiled by women." In other words, none of them have been converts of any of these organizational, denominational preachers. None of them would be converts to the perverted gospel the Gentiles are carrying around, because it is written, none of them had been defiled by women. No, it is not that the 144,000 do not have wives. The prophecy has nothing to do with having or not having a wife, because the people that bought the gospel in the beginning had wives. Peter had a wife. Most of them had wives. So, it is not about having a physical wife. Not defiled by women means they are not converts to the warped gospel the Gentile organizational preachers are carrying to Israel. This is strictly prophetic language, and preachers are teaching, oh, they are not going to have wives. They will have the women here at churches. They are Gentile organizational churches, because they are not the bride. They are women. But the bride of Christ is still a lady, for she is yet to marry. She is not yet married. She is only engaged to Christ. The marriage will take place in heaven, but right now, she is the elect lady, the bride of Christ. Yet, brother, Gentile organizational preachers are flocking to Israel by the dozens to preach their lopsided gospel, carrying their Trinity doctrine and all their carnal ideas, because they do not have a revelation of the truth. And neither do they understand the plan of God for Israel. Verse 4 goes further. It says, "For they are virgins, virgins of the truth, virgins of the word, untouchable by denominational preachers, non-converts to denominational and Gentile organizations." Remember, Christ himself called the bride in Matthew 25, wise virgins. Do not ever think they are physical virgins, because these people are married in reality, and have children. Are you with me? The Bible continues, "These are they which follow the Lamb whithersoever he goeth." That means they are completely yoked to leadership, the leadership of the Spirit of Christ. These were redeemed from among men, in the Jewish race, being the first fruits unto God and to the Lamb, that is, first fruits of the ministry of Moses and Elijah. They are first fruits not of the resurrection, but of salvation. Please note that. They are first fruits, not of the resurrection, but of salvation, among the Jews. Do not mix it up with 1 Corinthians 15, verse 23, first fruits of the resurrection. But these are first fruits of redemption from among the Jewish race, in the last week of Daniel, after the Gentiles have had the gospel for about 2,000 years. And the fact that they are first fruits lets you know there is another class of Jews to be saved. That gives you the nation of Israel, the woman of Revelation 12. I have gone into all that to let you see something. It is to let you see that God has a plan, a definite program for Israel. He has aware with all how the Jewish salvation would be wrought in the first half of the last week of Daniel. That is the blueprint for Israel, And that is the precise time slot of God, when they will be saved. That lets you see this, nothing will happen contrary to God's divine plan, for the word of God will prevail. Truth cannot fail, for truth conquers all. That is why God had to send the prophet back. Don't you go to Israel to preach. Why? Because they would recognize the sign of a prophet. But that would throw things out of due order, and it would be out of season, and against the will of God, and against the revelation of the truth of salvation for Israel at the end time. Yet, Brother Branham would not have gone to the Jews with any hand-me-down tradition. No. He would have borne pure truth to Israel. But it would have nullified God's provided way for Israel. It would have rendered God's revealed plan useless, for he would have held open-air crusades and would have converted the Jews en masse. But the Jewish connection we are talking about will not bring mass conversion, for it is not a witness to the whole nation, and neither is it an open-air crusade, but a witness strictly to a small elected nucleus of Jews, most likely in somebody's home, as it happened in Caesarea in Acts 10. Moreover, there was to be a chief apostle after Brother Branham's ministry, followed also by a John-type ministry. As such, Brother Branham could not have made the transitory connection or link, a link which can only take place in a period of time immediately before the two olive trees start their ministry to Israel. That is, the connection must be made just before the 70th week begins. This understanding will help you truly appreciate the prophetic declaration Brother Branham made on the Jewish connection, as you would now be able to see its precise application. William Branham was inspired by the Spirit of God when he was preaching on the seven church ages to make the prophetic declaration, which I quote again, "As the Jews bore the message to the Gentiles, even so the Gentiles will take it right back to the Jews, and the rapture will come." I have to ask, what kind of message did the Jews bring to the Gentiles in the first church age? It is the same kind of message the Gentiles will take back to the Jews. When the Jews brought the message, it was pure. When the Jews brought the message, it came without creeds, without dogma, without traditions of men. It came pure. It was wholesome. And when the Gentiles at the end time will take it back, it has to be pure and wholesome. That lets you see, the Jewish connection could not happen until God had first sent a messenger to start the process of washing the gospel of all its Gentile impurities. That is why Zechariah prophesied in chapter 14, verses 6 and 7 that, "It shall be one day which shall be known to the Lord. But it shall come to pass, that at evening time it shall be light." That pure light, brother, is by virtue of the fact that a man stood here at the end time, to push away every cloud of creed and dogma covering or obscuring the light, a spiritual condition that made the beginning of the seventh age a dismal or hazy spiritual environment. He pushed away the cloud, using the pure revelation of God's word so that the SON of God could shine through in his purity, washed of Gentile ideas. But I also thank God for the continuity light to Raymond Jackson Bow, to give us a balanced and a true and perfect understanding of the ministry message of Elijah, that we may be a wholesome truth, a wholesome message, a revelation which is not warped in any way, as a result of a gross misunderstanding of Brother Branham's ministry message. Brothers and sisters, that is why, if we Gentiles are to take it back to the Jews, you must realize, only a group in the entire movement can take it back. Only one group of ministry can do so. It has got to be a group of ministry that have been called out of the world of organized systems of religion, and have also followed the continuity light of Jesus Christ for this hour, because by that light, the bride is being stripped of all traditional ideas, all creeds, all dogma, and of all carnal and warped so-called revelations, enabling them to bear a pure and perfect revelation. They have to have a perfect and complete revelation to bear it to the Jews, for they are not going to the Jews with quotes. Therefore, it has to be a people, a ministry, that are following continuity, a people who have been given a perfect and balanced understanding of the ministry message of Elijah. Otherwise, I will ask you, how can you bear the message of truth to the Jews, when you yourself misunderstand the message, and are warped in your understanding of the message of the cross, the message of Christ? So, There had to be a Paul for this day within the Ephesian fivefold ministry, a chief apostle, because by his ministry and by his continuity message, the truth of Christ, the God sent the prophet, is made plain in the light of the scriptures. Considering the deepness of the prophet's message and the complexity of his ministry, particularly where we consider the dual statements that run through his sermons, fulfilling Matthew 3, verse 12, and in Christ's hand, Christ's end time separating process, which God built into the message. That is why I say, only one class of ministry can take the message to the Jews, that is, make the Jewish connection. It is not denomination preachers, because the Jews did not give it in a perverted form, and in the same form in which they gave it, it will go back. If they did not bring hand-me-down tradition, neither are they going to receive hand-me-down tradition. That is why the Bible says, these 144,000 are virgins of the word. They have not been defiled with women. Who are the women? Those are churches. Organizational churches. Denominational churches. These Jews have not believed or followed any hand-me-down tradition. They are first fruits of the ministry of the two witnesses, the two olive trees. The ministry of the two great eagles, the two prophets of Revelation 11, is the means of the conversion of the nation of Israel at the end time. That is the means of their salvation, and you cannot change it. So we must understand the quote of the prophet concerning the Gentiles who are to bear the message back to the Jews. No, we are not going to convert the Jews. That is the place of the modern-day Moses and Elijah to modern-day Jews. But when he said Gentiles will take it back, it only means we are going to bear a witness. We are going to bear a witness. It is something God is going to do as a stepping stone for the launching of the ministry of the two prophets, because their testimony is going to stir their hearts to the fact that this is a day when the two men are going to stand and declare a message for the redemption of Israel. That is going to make some people look forward. It is going to make some people look forward to what is just in front of them. That is how you have to look at this prophetic utterance, because it is so factual. It is so firm. As the Jews bore the message to the Gentiles, so will the Gentiles take it back to the Jews, and the rapture will come. It is not referring to denominational preachers, because they are not bearing truth. You are looking at the message followership. And let me narrow it down. You are looking precisely at the followership of the continuity revelation for this very hour. And if you look at the pattern of the scriptures, in the first church age, who did God use to make the Gentile connection? It was the standard bearer, the lead apostle, the chief apostle to the Jews. And at this same time, since the chief apostle is dead, I ask, who will God use to make the Jewish connection? It has got to be the lead apostle for today, the John, at this hour. But I believe, if God did not send Peter alone, but he went with a witness of people, I believe when God will inspire John and deal with him supernaturally to go to Israel, having first dealt supernaturally with an element of Jews, to make contact with him, for example with John, there will be witnesses also going with him. And I believe God will also bless that meeting, in whatever house the meeting is ordained to be held. God will bless the listeners, a people who would have been in great expectation. And as the house of Cornelius was packed full with people that were waiting, so will a favored Jew be waiting with his family, with all his loved ones and friends, to hear this message. And the message will be given in perfect purity. And I believe, as God blessed the testimony of Peter, so will God bless the testimony of the lead apostle for this day. He will also have Gentile witnesses with him on the trip. And the fact that there were seven that went to the house of Cornelius that day, it is to let you know, at the end of the seventh church age, when seven dispensations of time comes to a close, God will anoint his servant to bear a witness to the Jews, to let them know where God has been, and what God has done for the Gentiles, and also to let them know that this hour is the day of Israel. This will cause them to look forward. God did it back then, and he will do the same today. Saints of God, this is how the Gentiles will bear the pure gospel to the Jews. It is not about mass conversion. It is simply to bear a witness. But nevertheless, Gentiles will be used to bear this testimony. That is why I said, if Gentiles, plural, are going to do it. It will not be ministers running up and down all over Israel, trying to convert the Jews. If they succeed, what then will be the essence of the two witnesses? That just nullifies their ministry. The Jewish connection is how God will arrange for the standard bearer to go to Israel, but he will also go with witnesses to bear a witness. But if you do not see the input of Ham, you cannot see this truth either. Can I hear amen? But ask yourself, who are the people that are going to go with him? Since I will not necessarily say it is his church members, but I believe, brothers and sisters, there is an element of the ministry of the Gentile bride that will go with him to stand for something. Are you with me? Brother, look at that prophecy. As the Jews bore this message to the Gentiles, so will the Gentiles, plural, take it back. Then you have to look at the body of ministry, a small nucleus of men in the ministry, men who are standing for something and are bearing something. But remember, it was Peter that was led of God to bear the witness to the Gentiles in Acts 10, before Paul, the messenger to the Gentiles, stepped on the scene. On Pentecost, as well as on other important occasions, Peter, being the chief apostle, was the main spokesman. But there were always men to stand with him as a witness, and so shall it be, because God is moving in time with his people. Time is going back to where it all began. That is why we have the angel of the gospel, the angel of time, revealed in Revelation 7, returning to the Middle East. That lets you see, the gospel is going back to where it all started. It shows time has moved from the west, and is going back to the east. And church, tonight, I believe that that angel is here in Africa, watching over the gospel, for he is right here, as it is going back shortly to the Jews. But when he goes to Israel, he is not going to appear from the west. He will appear to Israel from the east, because when the Spirit left Israel, brother, do not forget, he departed from the eastern gate. And when God is going back to Israel, he is going to appear to Israel from the east. You always have to look at the eastern gate. Are you with me? Ezekiel saw the Spirit depart. It was from the eastern gate. And when he is going back to Israel, where does he reappear in the vision of Ezekiel? It has got to be the same. Ezekiel saw him appear from the east. That is why you see the angel of the Lord over the curvature of the earth, flying into the Middle East. Are you with me? From the east, because that is where God will reveal himself. It is from the east, because it is always from the eastern gate, because that is where the sun rises in the morning. But, brother, all that is in the Middle East. That lets you see time has revolved from the west, and is back in the east. But the manifestation of the angel of time, from the east, gives you a picture of a God, who is perfect and unchanging, in all his ways, and whose revelation is one. The Spirit of God left Israel from the east, and that is exactly the direction from which the Spirit returns, showing that the dark hour of Israel, staying without God, is over. Her hour of revival is finally here, after about 2,000 long years. Can I hear amen? The Lord bless you. Let us bow our heads in prayer. Father, we thank you tonight for thy truth and for thy light. Surely you have things for your people. Wonderful things are in store, a glorious dealership ahead. But I pray, Father, may you uphold us in the light. Help us to be faithful. Help us, Lord, to live just for you, to do right, to walk pleasing in your sight, that we may be prepared for thy glorious coming. Bless my brothers. Bless my sisters. Bless the ministry of the Bride Universal. May you bless the bride. Bless this assembly, Father, and bless us all. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Let me say this, it is very obvious that the mass of people following the message of Elijah are shut off from the reality of the things God is doing today. And I will also tell you, as I said before, they are also going to be shut off from what God is going to do ahead as well, because they rejected the continuity revelation of the chief apostle, Raymond Jackson Bull. Moreover, God has moved on with the bride, further than the truths we received from the chief apostle. As such, the things of God we are sharing today are things they will not understand, and neither will they be beneficiaries of the dealership of the Spirit of God, having shut out the continuity voice of truth. But church, What joy! What a joy there was among the Gentiles on the day when the connection was made. And when the other apostles heard of the connection, and they called and asked Peter, "Brother, why would you go to the Gentiles against the word?" For so they thought. Peter had to shed the new light for them of what God was doing that day among Gentiles. The Bible says, "They were happy that unto the Gentiles did God also give repentance unto salvation, and they magnified the name of the Lord." Saints, what a time of rejoicing it will also be when God makes the Jewish connection, and the testimony comes back to the Gentile bride of what happened among the Jews, as God vindicates His word. What will that do to you? It will make you know our day is over. The coming of the Lord is at the very doors, because Brother Branham said, when that connection is made, when the testimony is born, the rapture will come. Amen. May God bless you.